Brethren, it is a beautiful day. It's going to be nice and warm here in a little bit. And there's some sort of a football game on tonight, isn't there? This afternoon? No? Oh, tonight? Yeah. What time does the game start? Who can tell me? Huh? 5:30? Yeah. You know what? I promise you, if you come tonight, you ain't going to miss much. But if you miss tonight, you're going to miss something. All right? We're going to be studying in Psalm 19 tonight. And, Carolina's just going to score probably two or three touchdowns in the first 5 minutes, and that's all. And then Denver will come onto the field eventually. And it's going to be some sort of a football game, but I just don't have a clue what. And that's all I'm going to say about it. The text this morning in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 18 is, of course, a text from written to the Hebrew Christians, to the Jewish Christians scattered throughout the world. And it's written to people that know about the law of Moses and they know about how God worked with the children of Israel. But there are some statements in this passage that I want us to focus on, particularly verse 16 and verse 18. He gives aid to the seed of Abraham, and he, in verse 18, he is able to aid those who are tempted. There was a famous sermon, or a sermon given in 1614 by an English poet and preacher named John Donne, D-O-N-N-E. And in that sermon, he gave this particular poem that has become world famous and a classic. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as if a manor of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sinned to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. Now, upon first hearing this, you might think, wow, okay, that's just high, lofty language and everything, but there is a powerful statement here. Now, granted, this was written in 1624, it's very old English. So a dirt clod washes away from Europe, it's the same as if an entire peninsula were washed away. And if one man dies, it's as though I died, for I am part of mankind. And the loss of one, no matter how seemingly insignificant, diminishes me and diminishes my life. And so the funeral bells would toll when someone would die. And so people would be saying, all right, who died? Who died? Who's the bell for? And he says, don't ask who the bell is for. Don't ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for you. Ooh. I mean, that's a little frightening. That's a little scary. We're surrounded in a world. We're surrounded by this world of people who are in the same boat we're in. And we're going to leave this world one day. We're not going to stay here. We're going to leave. And we, you know, all you got to do is drive by the funeral home about 2 o'clock every day. And you pick a funeral home. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. About 2 o'clock every day at a funeral home, you're going to see a whole bunch of cars. There's a funeral taking place about 2 o'clock every day. A lot of days, there'll be a funeral at 11. Sometimes one at 10, but most of the time 11 and 2. Seem to be the most common funerals in this region. Different parts of the country, fine. But always, every day, folks, there are cars at that funeral home at that time because somebody died. We're in a world that we ain't going to live in long. We're just not. We're going to leave this world. But while we're here, we need to live. While we're here, we need to take advantage of what we have. In 1967, the Beatles released a song with the line, I get by with a little help from my friends. In fact, I imagine several of you, that tune will be running through your heads the rest of the day. Sorry about that. Everybody needs help at one time or another. Everybody needs help. There are times when we need all the help we can get. And the text reveals that we have help available to us. He is able to aid those who are tempted. With all the help we have at our disposal, it seems that we are certain to succeed. You would think that we're certain to succeed. By success, I mean for the Christian, making it to heaven. Being faithful to God in this life and living with God. Living for God here and then living with God there. That we're certain to succeed with all the help that's available at our disposal. And we have help both seen and unseen. Let me talk about the seen for just a minute. We get by with a little help from our friends. We get help from beside. Help from beside us. When God created Adam, He said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will create a help meet for him, a help fitting for him, an aid for him." And it'll be a partnership. He will help her, she will help him, and they will help each other live this life. And that's the way God intended it. We're not intended to be an island. No man is an island. We're part of the main. We're part of the whole body of humanity. And so the New Testament is giving us, I'll share four scriptures with you. I said four. Little finger's a little stuck. I'll share four scriptures with you this morning about the help that we get from beside us. Philippians 2 verse 4, "Let each one of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." Now if we're all doing this, then nobody gets left out. In Galatians 6, 1 and 2, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." Romans 15, 1 and 2, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification," to building up the body, building up your neighbor. You can see in the lives of people a lot of negative, a lot of knocking down, a lot of hypercriticism. We can see this as people are emphasizing and accentuating the negative rather than the positive. It's time that the church take more of a lead in showing people how to let light shine, how to be sunny, how to be friendly, how to be lovely, how to be beautiful and desirable. It's time that we show the positive side. We need to be leading our nation and this world in seeing how to give good things, how to share good things, how to build up and encourage, how to truly give help instead of criticism, instead of emphasizing the negative. Let us help. Let us truly try to help those. Lead to the building up of that person that you're talking to. Or the building up of this person for whom you're concerned. The building up of this body that meets here at Tanner. And then finally, Romans 14, verse 19. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." See, we have help from beside. This is our job. This is why it's wrong to be a hermit. It's just wrong. It's wrong to go and find your little nesting place, your cabin, or your castle, and live there and avoid humanity. And now this was, I guess, in Charles Dickens' classic, this was Ebenezer Scrooge's problem, wasn't it? I mean, this was why the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future were sent to him to try to save this man from himself, because his whole world was wrapped up around him. And one famous line from that Dickens classic is, "My business is humanity," or "humanity is my business." And so we interact and we need to help. We need help, we need to give help. Do not be just a receiver of help, brothers and sisters. Be givers of help. Be givers of help. This certainly can involve your checkbook, but it's much more than that. It is a kind word fitly spoken. A kind word fitly spoken. An arm on the shoulder of someone who's grieving. A note written that expresses that you're praying for this person. Give help. Give encouragement. Build up. This is how we get help from beside. And you know, sometimes it's just those notes that come in the mail unexpectedly where somebody has said, look, I appreciate you. Thank you for what you did or thank you for what you said. And you talk about, you know, you may be having a terrible, terrible day, but when something like that comes to you, what a blessing that is. Now, you need to be a blessing to others if you expect to receive blessings like that. You know, you need to be a blessing. So look for any way you can to be helpful to people. And you are indeed doing the will of God. Now, that's help from beside. Now, let's talk about the other direction, help from above. And this is where I'll spend the majority of this lesson. Help from above. Did you know we get help from angels? There are two passages in the New Testament that talk about how angels help us. That's all I've been able to find. Now, you may find some others. And if you do, let me know. All right? Send me a text message and say, hey, I found another one. And let me know, because this is the only two that I found where it talks about how angels help us. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Did you hear that? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Are you saved? Are you one of God's people? Angels are ministering to you. Angels are offering aid to you. Now, do you see it? No. Are you aware of it? No. You don't have any sense of it. You have no idea about how it's happening or when or why or what. You don't know. Just know that God sends His angels to help us. There's a statement in Matthew 18, verse 10 and 11, where we get the term guardian angels. And whether it's true or not, I don't know. But I know that this verse bears some consideration. In Matthew 18, verse 10 and 11, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. Jesus is talking about these children. These children who are to be an example to us. These children that we're to pattern our lives like. We're not to be childish, but we're to have a childlike faith, a childlike trust. We have too many that are childish and not childlike. Amen? We need to be childlike, not childish. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. They're angels. I find that interesting. Now, whether that's actually talking about guardian angels or not, I don't know. But I will say this. It's interesting. Angels are God's servants created to minister for God's purposes to God's people. That's what angels are for. That's their role. The Holy Spirit also gives aid. Again, how the Holy Spirit does it is best summed up in John 3, verse 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. And so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. What? Didn't that say so is the Spirit? So is the Holy Spirit? No, it says so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. What does that mean? He says the wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound, you can't tell where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Folks, we are a mystery to the world. They can't figure us out. They can't figure out how we react to life's challenges different than they do. We don't do like most people. We rejoice in hope. We deal with tribulations. We even rejoice in tribulations. We rejoice, not that we're suffering, but we rejoice that we're counted worthy to suffer for Christ when that happens, when persecution comes. And we endure our hardships in faith and trust in God. We have hope like the people of the world do not have. They can't figure us out. We act in faith. The Holy Spirit moves like wind. We can't see where it's coming from, where it's going, and so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now let me move on to another one. Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit is addressing the Father in our behalf. Now, you're never going to feel it. You're never going to get goosebumps from it. The hair is not going to stand up on the back of your neck because you've experienced something that just... No, you will have no physical evidence of the Holy Spirit making intercession for you. You will have no physical evidence of the Spirit manifesting or making it, putting, doing something in your life. You will have no physical evidence of this. This is all about that description in John. The Spirit works as the Spirit works. In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Many people argue that the gift of the Holy Spirit is salvation. Fine, you can take that if you want to. But there are too many passages that talk about the Holy Spirit which is in God's people. The Holy Spirit which dwells in the Christian. Too many passages that talk about that for us to conclude conclusively that the gift of the Holy Spirit is limited to salvation. Rather, a more likely interpretation is the gift of the Holy Spirit is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in every Christian. Now, how that Spirit dwells, it's the big argument continues as to whether it's through the Word or whether it's separate from the Word or whether it's some combination thereof. It doesn't matter to me, because we've got to be taking in the Word of God anyway. We've got to consume the book. We've got to continue in prayer and in study and in faithful life. And so the Spirit is going to work in us, whether it's through the Word or separate from the Word, doesn't matter to me. I have no way of knowing which way it is. Do you? And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God is here, and He's working through His Holy Spirit in our lives. And how He's doing that is His business. I just, in faith, know that's what He's doing because that's what He says. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" So we are the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is where you are. That's where you live. That's the house you live in right now. And when you die, when you leave this world, you're still going to exist. Your body, that house is going to be going back to the elements from which it came, but you're still going to exist. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The power of the Holy Spirit is upon each of us as we are children of God and as we continue in the will of God. 1 Peter 4:14, "If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Romans 8:1-2, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." You have help from above. There are angels that are helping. And the Holy Spirit Himself is helping us, brethren. But we also have help from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 2, 15, 16, and release those who do not fear of who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. He is talking about Christ. Christ. In chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus says this, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man, or what can man do to me. What can man do to me? I will not fear. The Lord is my helper. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is Jesus with you while you're driving on a cold, rainy night? Is Jesus with you while you're at home in the midst of your preparations for cooking a meal or cleaning house or whatever? Is Jesus with you wherever you go? Whatever you do, you better believe it. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Understand this. We use the passage to say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. And we use that to talk about how that the Lord is with us whenever we gather to worship. Understand, though, when you are by yourself, he's still there with you. He is still there with you. You're never alone. Talk about help. He's there to help us. He's there to bless us. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, let your conduct be without covetousness. Oh, we've already done that one. Hebrews 4, verse 15, 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Excuse me. Excuse me. We can have boldness in knowing that God is there to help us and His Son is there to help us in time of need. In Matthew 28, verse 20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And not only is the Holy Spirit with us, and not only is the Son with us, but you know who else is with us too, don't you? The Father is with us. Excuse me. Every moment of every day. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Psalm 68, verse 6, God set the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound unto prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Mick, get me some water, please. I have a feeling he's already gone to get me some water. Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Who is it that gives that help? It is God, folks. It is God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, His angels. We have help from above. And we need all the help we can get. Now, a woman was at work. Thank you, Mick. A woman was at work. That's the best son-in-law I got. I'm looking for two more. Yeah, these girls are going to get me for that. Woman's at work, and she gets a phone call that her daughter's just very, very sick. And so the babysitter calls her and says, please, you need to go to the drugstore, get some medicine, and come home. Your daughter's very sick. So she rushes out and goes to the pharmacy, and she gets the medicine that she needs, and she comes back to her car, and she realizes she's locked her keys in her car. And so she calls home and says, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I got to get home. But and the babysitter says, well, do you have a clothes hanger, a coat hanger? Sometimes those things, you can open the door. And she looks around, and amazing, almost miraculously, there was a coat hanger laying like three cars from her. Just maybe somebody else had trouble with a car and left the coat hanger on the ground. So she grabbed it, brought it over there, and she says, I don't know what to do with it. And she prayed, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to do. Well, it wasn't but a minute or so that this old rusty truck came driving up, and this bearded, scraggly-looking fella, greasy and just big old brawny ugly looking man, hairy man, gets out. If you're a hairy man, bless your heart. But he gets out of the truck and he comes over. He's wearing this old Harley Davidson skull cap and just looks like some vicious biker gang guy. And he says, and she's crying, and she says, "Sir, is there any way you can help me?" And he says, "What is it, ma'am?" And she says, "I've locked my keys in my car. My daughter's at home sick, and I don't know what to do. Can you help me get my car open?" And he says, "Yeah, sure." And he grabbed the hanger, and within a minute, he had the car open. And she just hugged him and thanked him. And she said, "Thank you so much. You're such a good man." And he says, "No, I'm not a good man, lady. I just got out of prison not even an hour ago, and I was in prison for car theft." And she said, "Lord, thank you for sending me a professional." Now, whether that help came from above or from beside, we don't know, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The fact is, God sends us help when we need it. Help in the form that we need. God is always doing that for us. He is the one who blesses us. And you just don't know how God's going to answer our prayers. Somebody once said God answers prayers in four ways. He says yes, he says no, he says wait a bit, and you've got to be kidding. Well, some of the prayers we pray, you know. Seriously, God hears our prayers and answers our prayers according to His will. And sometimes He answers those prayers through people, even not so nice people. But God still answers our prayers. In Matthew 7:11, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him?" We have help from beside. We have help from above. Why should we fail to reach heaven? And yet so many will not make it to heaven. Even those who have named the name of Jesus, some will not be saved. They will not make it inside that city, because not everyone will make use of the help that is offered. You see, there are those who even come to church on Sunday, yet they are waiting to get serious about living the Christian life. They're not living that life yet, and they're waiting. They're waiting for something. What are they waiting on? I don't know. I don't understand why anybody would wait. The trouble is, life is passing by while they're waiting. Opportunities are passing by while they're waiting. So stop waiting. Don't wait until you finish school, or until you go back to school, until you lose 10 pounds, until you gain 10 pounds, until you have kids, until your kids leave the house, until you start work, until you retire, until Friday morning, until Saturday morning. Don't wait until you get a new car or home. Don't wait until you pay off a new car or home. Don't wait until spring or summer or fall or winter, until you die, until it's too late to do anything about it. Don't wait to serve the Lord. What better time than right now to get serious about being a child of God? What better time than right now to be one of God's faithful? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." Heaven is going to be amazing. I mean, it's beyond description. It's, you know, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of the happiest moment of your life. A time when you smiled so hard it made your jaw hurt. That's how intense it was. Now multiply that moment by eternity, and you still will not have comprehended what God has in store for His faithful followers, for those who remain faithful to the end. Success is certain as long as we continue to serve the Lord. But there's a warning. There's a warning. We need to watch and pray. 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall." 1 Corinthians 16:13-14, "Watch, stand fast in the faith. Be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." Colossians 4:2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving." And finally, 1 Peter 5:8-9, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith." The devil seeks to eat your soul. He wants to eat your soul and destroy you. So we need to watch and pray. We also need to avoid presumptuous sin. So many people say, oh, God wants me to be happy. Presumptuous sin. God, I mean, I know what God said, but He wants me to be happy. Look, God does care about your happiness. But let me tell you something. Your happiness is irrelevant. Your faithfulness is what God wants. And happiness will come as a blessing for faithfulness. But presumptuous sin will lead many people straight into the bowels of hell. In Psalm 19:3, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and I shall be innocent of great transgression. And of course that statement, be faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. Let me say this one more time. Faithfulness does not mean perfection. It means loyal. It means loyalty. Now God requires sacrificial obedience, but you're not going to ever obey perfectly. And you're not ever going to understand every scripture perfectly. And you're not going to have perfect memory of all your transgressions. And you're not going to ever get everything just exactly right. There will always be gaps. There will always be dark places. There will always be failure. There will always be error in our lives where we have messed up. And you know what? God is going to save us anyway as long as we are faithful. God forgives our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as long as we walk in the light. And confess our sins. Confess to God. Confess to one another. Pray for one another. Pray to God. God will always receive us to Himself as long as we continue to try. No matter what the cost, I will pay. No matter how difficult, I will stay. Though I stumble and tumble and fail to obey, as long as I try, God won't cast me away. There's no reason to fall just because we fail. There's no reason for any of us to be lost. In fact, every one of us can be saved if we will come to God and stay. We have help from above. We have help from beside. We have all the help we need. There's no reason for us not to succeed. We can make it to heaven. We just got to keep on keeping on. If you're not a Christian today, you need to start that journey and join us in that journey together. If you're already one of His people, but you've not been faithful, you need to come back to Him before it's too late and rededicate your life to Him. If there's a way we can help you, we will encourage and plead with you to come right now if you need to. As together we stand and sing.